right, welcome back inside the cave on this Thursday morning. Pat Hayes, John Roberts in for Jeff Bowman today. And every Thursday we have our talk with John Borton from the Wolverine magazine. And John, we had a lot of answered questions in the Penn State game that was this last weekend. And my first question is this team better than last year's team?
Well, Pat, that's a tough one. I would say at this point it is. You can't get any better than 7-0, right?
Right.
So they've certainly taken care of everything that's before them, and I do believe that this team perhaps has a little bit more upside in some ways, given the multiplicity of guys you have at those edge rushers that, you know, it's crazy thinking about it, dialing it back to last year when you think, my word, you had Aiden Hutchison and David Ojabo, and you'll never be able to replace those guys. Well, they're coming in waves now. It's really less predictable for a defense because you've got Mike Morris and you've got Yabi Oke and you've got Braden McGregor and four or five different other guys that could come on any given play. On the offensive side, certainly I think that J.J. McCarthy adds an element of more mystery in the quarterback position because he has the capability of taking off and running with the football when things break down, and that mobility buys him extra time to throw. I think it's maybe got more weapons, but here's, you know, the bottom line is what you do in that last game, because the 2021 team will always be known for they got it done against Ohio State. And that translated into a couple of really good things for this program. Big Ten championship and the first ever playoff appearance. And the Ohio State game is the gateway to all of that. It's going to be tougher for the 2022 team because they have to do it down in Columbus. But still, that's going to be the true test if you want to start comparing years.
Well, you mentioned Morris on the defensive side of the ball. I mean, this guy came out of nowhere and has really risen to the occasion. I'm sure the coaches are very, very pleased with his performance so far.
Oh, there's no question about it, and it's come in a multiple number of ways. You look at the fact that he's blocked a kick a couple weeks ago, that he is getting the tipped pass every now and then, that he is also piling up the sacks and the tackles for loss. He is a major factor coming off that edge. This is a guy that we talked about before the season ever started, but he has grown more than a lot of people thought he would. A mutual friend of both of us, Tom Crawford, we do a podcast every week, and we threw out the question, who is Michigan's defensive MVP to this point in the season? And we agreed it was Mike Morris. That's subject to change, but at this point, there's not a whole lot else that he could do to be better. I mean, he is improving, but he's made a big impact for this team.
John, this is John Roberts sitting in for Jeff Bowman today.
Hey, John.
How are you?
Good.
You mentioned defensive MVP in your last answer. How significant has Jesse Minter been as the new defensive coordinator, and what was that transition like from Coach McDonald last year?
Yeah, I think it's been a really kind of a quiet, huge success. I mean, we talked about Jesse Minter before the season started. We talked about the process of you're changing defensive coordinators, but you're not completely changing defensive systems. And I think that was designed by Jim Harbaugh. He's, you kind of have a cooperative between the Baltimore Ravens and Michigan right now because, you know, you lost a guy back to the Ravens But you gain the guy that was very well versed in the Ravens system in Jesse Minter. And for these defensive guys, it wasn't all new. There was some new terminology, but it was the system. It was like, yeah, we know how to do this. We get this. And so that was a fairly seamless transition. It's not like Jesse Minter doesn't bring some of his own business to the table, and it's worked really well. I mean, you're looking at a team that is giving up an average 12 points a game. Everybody talked about the run game against Penn State, but this was the defense that really surrendered 10 points to a team that had averaged 34, 35 points a game coming in. You had the one defensive score by Penn State. Otherwise, that's a 10-point production out of this offense. So I think that Jesse Minter is fairly quietly been one of the real highlights of this Michigan success story so far.
Looking at the offensive line, as we saw against Penn State, we're opening up holes that we haven't seen the likes of in quite a while. And kudos to that offensive line. And, of course, Blake Corum and Donovan Edwards just had a field day, both over 170 yards each for the afternoon. Any comments on those two gentlemen and the offensive line?
Well, certainly that is a cooperative effort, because you've got these running backs that you give them a little crack, and both Donovan Edwards and Blake Corum showed what they could do with it. Seems like Blake Corum just creates on his own at times, but he does need a little bit of a seam, and they give him that, and he makes some of those jump cuts. And Donovan Edwards, he just ran away from everybody when you gave him a hole in that game. Two huge plays in the third quarter to bust that game wide open. The offensive line, it's fun. They give each other tons of credit. We've talked to guys like Ryan Hayes and Zach Zinter, and they said, look, those two guys also make us look good, because we're pretty good, but we make mistakes. And sometimes they cover them up. Corum with a jump cut to the outside. Donovan Edwards with a quick shallow cut. And, boy, you saw what he could do when he gets in the defensive backfield. It's a really, really good situation right now. And that game on Saturday brought back up echoes of how they got it done last November against Ohio State, which gives you, you know, you combine all these things. We talked about Jesse Minter. They're going to need a fantastic defensive effort in Columbus to get that done. But one of the ways you do it is to control the line of scrimmage, on both sides. And Michigan is showing the capability more and more of doing that.
One of the things I read over the weekend, John, was that it's kind of becoming a hallmark of the Michigan program under Jim Harbaugh, and it kind of speaks to his days as a player there. Michigan is starting to recruit and develop NFL-type players on both lines, the offensive and defensive lines. And I think, you know, the old adage that it all starts up front is ringing true in Ann Arbor.
Oh, there's no question about it. I mean, and you look back to the success that Michigan has had over the years. They have certainly been known for their offensive lines. They used to have a little bit smaller, quicker defensive line. I don't think they've given up speed necessarily, but these guys that they're bringing in here now, I mean, you've got some people calling them Edge Rush U. And in recent years, you've got the Chase Winoviches and the Rashawn Garys that they have brought in, and now you fast forward it to the Okies and the Braden McGregors and the guys that can really move and get the job done. And that offensive line, you were voted the best offensive line in the nation a year ago, and you got most of those guys back. You're working in new guys. I think there's a lot to that, because Michigan doesn't take a back seat on either side of the ball at this point, and that's by design.
Before Michigan left the field, against Penn State, the players were already talking about on to Michigan State. And this is going to be a dogfight, as it always is. Michigan probably will be a prohibitive favorite in this game, simply because Michigan State has, I guess, a down year as far as they are concerned. Any comments on the Michigan-Michigan State matchup, John?
Well, if you've been around it, you understand the emotion that goes into it. You understand how just absolutely insanely intense Michigan State is about that game, how this, you know, this is their Super Bowl, a lot of Michigan fans would say. I think it's almost a good thing that Michigan State was able to take down Wisconsin in overtime in that last one. Otherwise, you've got the narrative that Michigan State has gone completely off the rails. They might not win another game. Michigan is rolling. This is just easy. And that's, I think they have evidence in that Wisconsin game, even though this isn't a classic Wisconsin team, that that's not the case. You better still pay attention. You better still do all the right things to win this game. Should Michigan win it? Absolutely. Yeah, just given the objective data that we have on both these teams at this point, it is a home game. It is a night game. I just think that Michigan has the upper edge, and yet I've been around Michigan-Michigan State games where that has been the case, and it has not turned out like you would expect.
John, one of the things we talked about earlier in the week with a gentleman from the Michigan State side is this may be a decent matchup for Michigan State defensively because Michigan's more of a running team, to the old play in the phone booth kind of style. Might suit Michigan State maybe a little better than a team that throws the ball a lot. Not saying, of course, that Michigan can't throw the ball, but I think they'd rather lean on those running backs and that offensive line if they can.
Yeah, I think there's no question about that. But I think on the Michigan side of that, you know, when you know that Michigan State has struggled with its secondary and you have demonstrated, hey, if we need to do this, we can do this. We saw that with J.J. McCarthy with 300-plus yards through the air against Indiana. You know, that they are not limited. They are not run the football only.
Right.
So I think, you know, what was it, a 145 yardage passing against Penn State. I am predicting right now that you will see significantly more than that through the air against Michigan State. And the other thing on the flip side of that is no Kenneth Walker for Michigan State. I don't think they run the football as effectively, and that's really what beat Michigan last year, that and a couple of other strange occurrences up in East Lansing.
Well, J.J. McCarthy, you mentioned him as far as the passing game. He did mention in the post-game press conference after the Penn State game that I guess he was asked the question, why didn't they pass more? And he said pretty much when the running game is going good, why should we pass? And he said, I'll take this kind of game every week. So, obviously, he's reading the defense as well, and running the ball was the best way to go, and that's what Michigan did. And he said he'd take that every week.
J.J. McCarthy is a winner. He likes to win. They all like to win. And if that means, okay, the running backs and the offensive line are just going to beat up on a team in any given week, hey, he's completely on board. If it means that kind of a passing game that they demonstrated the week before, okay, let's go. These guys just want to win football games. They want to get to Columbus at 11-0. And I think that this is a team that is very capable of it. And how that happens, you know, the details, the game by game, week by week, defense by defense will fill in those details. And their job is to be as well-rounded as possible, to be ready for whatever type of game they find themselves in. I think it will be a different game than what you saw on Saturday, and but that's fine. They embrace that.
I think looking down the road after Michigan State, one team that I have my eye on as maybe someone that could pull an upset, and that's Illinois. Right before the Ohio State game, Illinois has come from nowhere out of the West, and your impressions on Illinois and what they're doing.
Well, there's no question that Brett Bielema has proven that he can win in the past, and he's got the old Illini whipped up. They are not surrendering very many points at all. They are playing, they are taking advantage of obviously the weaker division in the Big Ten. I think that they've been one of the survivors along with Purdue in that division so far. And, yeah, I think you're right. That's the game. If Michigan gets past Michigan State, that you really circle in a big way, because not only is Iowa playing well and gaining confidence in the process, they are also very, very well positioned on the schedule, because, you know, the very next week you've got Ohio State if you're Michigan. And can you be taking a quick peek ahead and listening to all the good things that people are saying about you and, you know, gearing up and all the excitement turned towards Ohio State late in the season? And here's Illinois. No doubt that will be one that Michigan will have to pay attention to very closely.
Well, this is a bye week, and what do teams normally do during bye weeks? I know they obviously practice, but do they do anything different than the other weeks of the year?
I think they do, because, you know, you do have the 2 weeks. Jim Harbaugh said they were practicing four times this week. It was going to be 100% focused on Michigan State. He understands as well as anybody else that the performances against Michigan State, there've been some weird things that have happened, crazy plays, and we all know about them, that have tipped the scales in Michigan State's favor, albeit slightly. But, you know, you're coming off, you went 40 years where Michigan was taking 3 out of 4 from Michigan State. 40 years, 4 decades. And then along comes Mark D'Antonio, coincides with the dip in Michigan's play, and all of a sudden Michigan State was strutting for a few years. And now it's kind of gone back and forth in the Jim Harbaugh era. They desperately want this game. And so it's all Michigan State focus. Like I said, 4 practices this week, and then next week they go into a regular game week in terms of their practices and meetings and all that. So I just think it's full focus ahead on the Spartans, and then they'll deal with life after that.
All right, we are out of time, John, and we want to thank you again for being on Inside the Cave again this week. And remind folks how they can get a copy of the Wolverine magazine.
Absolutely. Just came out with one one Mr. Blake Corum on the cover, and you can get that. And our monthly issue that's packed with all kinds of analysis and looks at the Wolverines by calling 800-421-7751. And also join us every day. You can go to the On3.com network, look up the Wolverine, and we're there bringing it to you on a daily, hourly, by the minute basis.
And of course you have Tom Crawford on, our friend, on Mondays, right?
Absolutely. We do a YouTube live segment from 5:30 till 6:15. You're absolutely welcome to listen in. We're going to have a special guest on this coming Tuesday that is going to be tied into Michigan State as well, so we'll have a real lively time. That's 5:30 to 6:15 on Tuesdays.
All right, we'll be sure to be listening, John. Thanks again. We'll enjoy the bye week here, and next week we'll talk Michigan State.
Great. Thanks, guys.
All right.
Thanks, John.
John Borton from the Wolverine Magazine, our guest here on Inside the Cave. We'll be right back after these messages.